And our next speaker is Christina Curley. Christina is, I understand her to be a social entrepreneur. And what that means is she's got some amazing ideas that are looking for some money, but they're really good ideas, and they're definitely about human flourishing, but also her relationship with the Flourishing Foundation, which is an organisation that puts young people through a programme to help them to support young people in New Zealand.
Well, kia ora tātou, ka Christina tuku ingoa. As Jan said, I am here as a graduate of the 2015 LifeHack Flourishing Fellowship, which is a group of 22 people around Aotearoa New Zealand looking to help young people flourish in New Zealand. I also have two social enterprises. One is Upwards and one is Savvy Up. And you can find a little bit about Savvy Up at the back. So, the old story of separation is dying. Go to uni, get a job for life, buy a house. The script no longer works. But we don't know yet what's going to take its place. So how do we help our young people to flourish in a world where everything is uncertain? What role does systemic change play in this? And even more, how do we work towards a world of connection and kindness? So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. First of all, I'm going to talk about cultural myths and the story of separation and the story of connection and the bit in between, which Morgan calls the interregnum. Then I'll be talking about systemic change and complex systems and how we can do this at a macro level. And then finally, I'll be talking about what we can do at a micro level, so what you and I can do. So first of all, so Charles Eisenstein, in his book, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible, he talks about the story of separation and the story of connection. So it's a cultural myth, a way of being that everybody knows you go to uni, you get a job for life, you buy a house, you have 2.4 kids. Everybody knows. But actually, this story is dying. This story is nearly dead. And so it's a tremendous source of fear for our young people, because right now we have a gap. We don't have a story to take its place. Now, we know that we can move towards the connection and a more joined up world. But right now, the new story is yet to be fully born. We're at a tipping point, right? It could go either way. So our job as adults is to help our young people to move towards this the right way that we want. We want it to go to the love and connection point. We don't want to go back to separation, because it's going to be worse. So we have to act now, right? So my program, Upwards, it's founded on Joseph Campbell's myth of the hero's journey, which is the idea that the hero in every culture, there's a myth, and it's called the monomyth. And it's around the story that the hero gets called to action, and sometimes he says, no, not going to do that, but eventually he has to act, and he goes through a series of trials. And then eventually he gets to the ordeal, and sometimes this is a literal or a figurative death, but he has to get through the ordeal. And then he comes out the other side and he's reborn, and he takes that new knowledge back to civilization, that torch, and he goes back and he integrates that back into everyday life. So my program Upwards, which is leadership skills, and especially foundational leadership skills for high school students, that is about teaching, helping those young people to make that transition from where they are now, and maybe they're ashamed of who they are, maybe they're ashamed of where they come from, maybe they're not having such a good time, maybe they need a bit of help. So my program is about helping give those young people a leadership boost through the ordeal and into where they know that they can be. So that ordeal in the story of humanity, that's a rite of passage. That's a rite of passage into adulthood, where we've been called to do new things. We've been called to do stuff that's going to help our young people to move into that new world, right? And we really are going through that right now. So we have to find new ways to teach our young people creativity, to teach resilience, to equip our young people for the challenges that they're going to have to solve. They're going to have to solve climate change. We're going to have a lot more refugees coming to New Zealand as climate change impacts a lot of the outlying islands. We've already got really high inequality, and that's only going to get worse unless we do something different. So how do we do that? There's two ways. First of all, there's the macro level. So everything is made up of complex systems. And so it's a little bit like a watch, like the inside of my watch right here, it's a mechanical watch. So when you change one thing, and you can see here, this is the picture of a town clock. When you change one thing, it changes everything. Every single cog is connected. So you can't just change one thing at a systems level. You have to change multiple things at once. And so Morgan's talked about that, and Laura's talked about that, about how we can change things. And I've worked in government, so I know a bit about changing the levers. So sometimes you have to change more than one lever at the same time. You've got to press several at once. You've got to push this little bit here. But the point is, to make change, long-lasting systemic change, we have to change systems. And we make the systems. We are the government, okay? We make the systems. So we have to change the systems and the systemic change so that we can either put pressure on the government to do it or we can do it ourselves at a grassroots level. But either way, for our young people to flourish, we need to change the systems. So some examples of systemic actions that we could take would be resourcing low-income parents. There are a lot of resources. I know that Morgan's already talked about and Laura's talked about. If we can resource low-income parents, there are tons of research saying their parenting skills will go up, their material needs will go down, they won't need programs in schools to feed their kids, because that is about shifting the needle, and that is something that government can do. Income redistribution. Things like reducing inequality. So that, again, that's a government series of levers. That's not one thing that you can just flick. That are multiple, in a complex system, all of these cogs are moving, remember. So we've got to do lots of little things that are going to change it. And also, so the other thing about that is Max Rashbrook, who wrote a book about inequality in New Zealand, he talked about the fact that in a survey, 75% of the people in that survey thought that people were in poverty because it was their fault. We need to change that language. There are so many systemic barriers that we need to change that keep people in poverty, and that's what Upwards is designed to address, some of that work. And likewise, we need to fix the problem in New Zealand of systemic racism. Really, really massive. That's what's keeping some of our young people from flourishing. The way that we teach in Upwards is very much kinesthetic. It's about running around, playing games, and doing things, hands-on doing things, and a little bit of karoro, a bit of talk. Most of that is about the action and the doing and the movement. So the way that we teach in schools isn't designed well for the way that young people learn. And another part of that would be, what happens if we were truly bicultural? To pick up Morgan's point, what would it be like if we were like, say, Wales, where every street sign is bilingual, where language, everything would be in Te Reo Māori and in English? What would that look like? How do we actually truly honour our young people and their birthright in this country, either as Māori or Pākehā? How do we do that? So that would be, it's about pride and where they come from. So encouraging that. And that's, again, one of the things that we cover in Upwards. How we help people understand their whakapapa and where they come from is really important, and giving them pride in who they are. Another thing we can do is we can take away the responsibility of schools as first responders. So schools aren't really about teaching at the moment. They have to deal with some fairly major stuff every day. If we could completely take away that responsibility from them, have a holistic approach where we have lots of different government organisations working together, whana ora, things like that, where we can bring people, take that responsibility off the schools, give that to another area, whether it's government, whether it's private enterprise, and we create a market for it. That would actually be really helpful for Upwards while I work out the funding problem. We just need to take it away from schools, because they're forced to deal with everything and they just don't have the resources and they can't do it. So we really, really would help our young people if we were able to do that. Because the schools need to be focusing on the fact that we need to be teaching creativity and resilience to our young people. That's the most important thing we need to teach right now. It's not even education. It's about how to learn, how to change, how to grow, how to be resilient. Those are far more important right now for this world that we, as we navigate this period where we don't know the story, we don't know what's going to happen, but we have to construct a new story. And finally, what we need to do is actually fund the essential life skills for for young people. So because we can't necessarily rely on parents to do that. Maybe they don't know, maybe they never learned, but we have to divorce that out of school and put that into a separate set of activities. I think that would be much fairer on schools rather than forcing schools to do what's called the hidden curriculum, where they're trying to teach values, but it's not measured, it's not able to really be resourced. So that's actually what Upwards does. It's about teaching character, it's about teaching those foundational leadership and life skills and those social skills and those areas where people, you know, everyone says there's a problem and everyone says that there is a need for it, but let's actually do it. And finally, to resource those areas, let's create new business models. So I've been struggling with Upwards for 2.5 years on finding the right business model that's going to be a social enterprise that connects the community, it connects amazing facilitators of young people back into their communities and resources them properly. Right now, our youth workers, they have a job that has, there's not enough mana in it, and they need to be resourced more. They are absolutely living on minimum wage, and it's not fair. So if we're going to really help our young people flourish, we need to be resourcing the teachers and the youth workers and all of the other people who work with young people. And finally, if we were able to help shift the healthcare aspects of it, we were able to offer free healthcare to everybody up to 18, I think that would really help with flourishing. The micro level. So we all have to act. The really important part, as Laura's pointed out, Morgan's pointed out, this is up to us, all right? So we all need to act to shift the tipping point. So one of the things that we can do in our own communities is that we can hire a young person for their first job. Got some great research from Terry Fleming, which is basically about how the number of part-time jobs in neighbourhoods are going down. And this is really severely impacting young people getting essential skills and life skills for their first job, which then helps them when they go to get it their next job. So what you can do is you can hire a young person in your neighbourhood and you can give them that job experience and you can help them. The other thing you can do, if you're an employer, you can hire a young person into a job. So by 2020, which is only 3 years away, Generation Y and Generation Z, which are my generation and younger, are going to be 50% of the workforce. So they're going to change, if they haven't, they're already starting to do it, but they will change how the workforce happens. But there's a huge problem where young people aren't being hired at the graduate level because the people in the older end are needing to work for longer. So what that's creating is a huge ticking time bomb. So very soon we're going to see a problem where there aren't enough new leaders coming in at the graduate and beyond level that are being upskilled to take up this mantle. That's actually something that's so important to me that I have developed a company around that, which is helping grads into the workforce. So you can find out a little bit about this. The other thing you can do is you can be that supportive adult for a young person. It only takes one adult, one person to support a young person in their life, one mentor. That one person is enough to build resilience for a young person and make a difference. So you can be that one person for someone else. Okay? I'm here because a lot of people have helped me, and I know that that's something that everybody here can do. If you're a parent, what you can do is you can empower your young people to take risks in a safe environment. You've got to let go of control, okay? That's really, really important. So you've got to allow them, rather than doing too much for them, allow them to fail, allow them to experience consequences. That's okay. So we actually have a great focus at Savvy Up about teaching habits. So Tim Elmore, who's an American guy, he says, if you teach habits, attitudes will follow. And he calls it habitudes. And so we have a really great, in Savvy Up, we've got a great focus on, we believe if you teach the habit, the good attitude will follow. So as a parent, don't worry about the attitude. Focus on teaching the habit, and then the attitude will follow. And finally, we can help empower the change makers. So we can act ourselves, and we can also help those in our community, like Laura and others in Action Station and other community groups that are doing good work. Help those people, help them connect, try and avoid the silos, help them do more, okay? resource and empower communities to make their own solutions. So that's something that I'm trying to do with Upwards. It's very much about providing the resource and letting the youth workers and the young people co-create together. We're still at the beginning of that process, but that is absolutely what we want to do. Because it's actually, in terms of where the story is going to come from, the new story, it comes from the things that are just beginning now. It's going to come from the grassroots. It's going to come from all the small things that we do. And just remember, we're not alone. A lot of my friends who are change makers, they often get really tired and discouraged, and they say, what can I do? Literally, I've done everything, and it feels like I have to save the whales, and I have to save climate change, and I have to deal with this and this and this. And I say, look, you know what? We're not acting alone. We're not acting alone. We can all do a little bit. That's actually the main point here. We can all act. And acting, even the smallest, most invisible act of kindness or courage, has a huge ripple effect around the world. And that's what's going to push the tipping point over for good.
Thank you very much. That was extremely interesting.